This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Well, it's good to see so many of you are interested in a topic like discipleship. And really, I'm encouraged to see so many ladies in here today. I was a little nervous about the blurb that I have up there that says discipleship for men, and I'm not talking about things necessarily relating exclusively to men. One of the realities that is in my life is that really what I am today is a product of men and women who intentionally took time to invest in my life and change this man from basically a drug addict to a minister of the gospel. And that was a process over a number of years. And that is beautiful. That's really what we're talking about, is how to affect men's lives in a lasting way. Amen? Oh man, you should have really responded right there. Because if we're not worried about lasting results, we're wasting our time, really. And so, my wife and I have just taken up that example, really, and over a number of years, have invested in people's lives, both here in the United States and internationally. We have successes. We have some failures. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's a struggle. Now, as we begin, I thought about how to structure this, and I want to talk to you just a little bit about prevailing mindsets today. We're going to try to unbox this, and then we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about some practical ways that we can engage and perhaps overcome some of these challenges. You can see what's up there on the screen is a formidable list. Short vision of life. Decreased attention span. Unhealthy appetite for change. Centralized knowledge source, a concept of relative truth, and a reprobate mindset. And it's just common knowledge to us that the world is rapidly changing. Am I right?
Yes.
And we know that God's Word has answers. That the Christian life and the kingdom of Jesus Christ is able to penetrate and make a difference in some of these very difficult situations and mindsets. Now, let's talk just a little bit about men having a shorter vision of life. We're going to try to move through this quickly so that we don't spend all of our time on this. But let's just think together what we're facing as you go into the urban environments, as you go even into very foreign cultures. This is rapidly moving, but it's most prevalent perhaps in the American environment. So today's man has a shorter vision of life. You can read verses like 1 Corinthians 15:32, where it says, "Let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die." And that's a quote out of Isaiah and other scriptures like that. And today's man, the moment is very distinct to him. Eternity is vague. Okay? And really, there's something interesting in the modern man today, that the realities of choice and consequence are a bit dimmer than they once were, because modern culture has worked so hard to negate consequences. Get drunk on Friday night, take an aspirin on Saturday morning, right? We have solutions for the consequences of illicit behavior. And it has a very negative impact on life's choices today. Now, the Bible teaches us an expanded concept of life, does it not? It does. Concept of life today, resurrection, eternity. It extends our grasp on what is reality. 1 Corinthians 15, almost all of it tells us that the knowledge of resurrection positively affects our choices. Positively affects our mindset or our reality. And that results in choices today that are positive and sustainable. Now, today's man also has a decreased attention span. Is that news to you? No. And this is, well, media and technological advances are shortening our attention patterns. And the point that I want out of this right here is that we are focused now on accessing knowledge rather than retaining it. Men used to study, and today's professional is different than he once was. He's a man that knows how to access the right information for his particular trade and apply it properly, rather than someone, a doctor, that has mental reserves in his life. And if you browse the internet a little bit, you'll see this. Quotes, blurbs, status, short web articles, 1-minute videos. And it's obvious, if you've ever been involved in video creation and things like that, that the longer a video is, it decreases the chances that someone will watch it to the end. You're paying attention, right? I'm just curious. Is that going to work out? We'll just live on Christian blurbs? So the Bible has some creative answers for this as well. Now just think about fasting as a duration exercise. It's an intense focus on something particular over a long period of time, right? To the point where we don't take food or something natural to us to make sure that our mind stays in tune with God. It's associated with prayer, Bible reading, meditation. They demand focus time. Church services, times of fellowship, just talking with one another, just setting aside time to create Christian fellowship. It extends our attention spans. And we kind of know this because in the Anabaptist world, our children have a longer attention span than most of secular society. Today's man has an unhealthy appetite for change. I think we'd all agree with that. It's very graphically displayed in American culture symptoms, we call it. And I'm just going to highlight one or two things so that you understand what's going on. You ever thought about no-fault divorce? Well, you know, I'm weary of my old wife, and I need something new and exciting to come into my life and change this reality. And so I can divorce her without giving any specific cause or something like that. Reduce brand loyalty. Now, that's kind of a funny one. When I studied marketing, this just was amazing to me how this works. But you know, the nuclear family has long been, for the business world, the method in which brand loyalty communicates across generations. And that is rapidly changing. So for example, Grandpa used John Deere tractors, Dad used John Deere tractors, I use John Deere tractors, and most likely my son will have an appetite for John Deere tractors. Crest toothpaste, you know, more simple things like that. But that's changing very rapidly. Okay? And the marketing world has developed the ability to, or they're focusing in on changing people's appetites and creating that so that they can move you from one brand to another brand. Okay? Church hopping, job hunting, all those things are up there. Thrill seeking, the rise of lawlessness and rebellion. These are tied back to an unhealthy appetite for change. We don't like the establishment as much as we once did. And the Bible has answers for all of this too. It talks about commitment to all levels of life. It teaches us to honor time, or to love honored time-honored values. It gives us a healthy desire for restoration as opposed to simply innovation. Now, let's go on. I guess there's a clock there. I've got to think about how much time I have. Today's man has a centralized knowledge source. Now, you might say, okay, brother, I'm not sure what you're saying here. And that's okay. One time I was at I was teaching in a setting, and actually a little old grandma came up to me afterwards, and she said, Trent, have you ever thought that we are just increasingly being pushed towards not thinking for ourselves, where everything, there's one central source in the world. She said things like GPS. I don't have to know how the roads go. I can just plug that thing in, and here it comes, right? And so we have things like that. Google. Just ask Google. I'll just pick up my phone and tap in and ask Siri what the answer is to this problem or that. That's all. And increasingly, and maybe just take that further, I put thermostat or fridge because now, and I see some of you smiling, you can actually, you know, I can open up my phone and find out the temperature of my fridge or, you know, adjust the thermostat setting. But what I'm just pointing to in a simple way is that knowledge is being channeled through a central source. And this is a unique and different phenomenon in the world than what has happened in the past. And I'm not particularly saying that it's all wrong. One more thought on this. Algorithms are not based on God's knowledge. When you ask Google, it is not checking with the Bible to see what is the answer to that problem. And we and our youth increasingly rely on that to know and understand. So the Bible gives some answers to that. The Bible is truth. There's no new revelation. Unknowns are answered by faith in God. God is the source of all true knowledge. Let's go on. Today's man has a concept of relative truth. Postmodern culture, post-Christian society, both emphasize views of truth that are specific to circumstances or culture, but not universally applicable. Okay, and I just gave two examples. One is that we would find in the Christian church today that that many, many people would agree with you that at a certain point in time, the head covering was truth that was shared or taught, and it was true for them. But it's really not applicable to us today. Now that in spite of the fact that men like Martin Luther, men like John Calvin, men like most all reformers and everyone, they taught that this was an important point for the worship of God. Okay, think about abortion. That's a more secular topic. Well, depending on the circumstance, gauges the resistance that we have to that, right? Okay, so there is a concept of relative truth that exists in the world, and we are all affected by it in some ways. And the Bible gives answers again. Truth is not relative, rather it's absolute. Truth is established and fixed by God alone. Applications differ, but truth does not. And if we're going to effectively disciple and teach people to embrace Jesus Christ, we are going to have answers to some of these problems that come up in the world. And I want to talk more about how we do that later. I don't want to take up too much time with this. Today's man has a reprobate mindset. You recognize that term I took out of Romans. So a reprobate mindset is just simply a mind abandoned to sin, something that is shallow, indulgent, twisted. And these are people that we're discipling, people that we're working with. This is just the reality. Basic truths of the gospel that come to us. Now let's put this up here. I'm just going to move ahead of what I'm talking about, but look at what the Bible teaches. That a new birth, a new creature in Christ Jesus, minds cleansed and renewed are possible. Not only possible, they are the mandate. They are the reality. Okay? And sometimes we cower in front of this stuff, and we're so afraid to get involved with it because we're afraid of what it will do to us. But the reality is that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. 1 John would teach us that, right? And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord whips up or puts up a standard in front of that. And we sometimes cower and fail to believe that God is rising up. And God is doing something among His people today that is able and more than able to overcome these problems. Amen? Yeah, let's hear it. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Amen. Now look at that. Just some different words. I just adjusted some words on the very same slide. How do we move this reality from the Bible into the reality of real men's lives? We have this great commission. Go into all the world. Make disciples. Teach. Affect. Make Christians out of people just like this. Give them an eternal vision of life. Right? Give them a focused span of attention. Give them a healthy appetite for change. Help them understand that God is the true source of knowledge. Help them have a concept of absolute truth. Help them have a clean and a pure mind. Isn't that tremendous? We can do it. But sometimes it just starts with the simple thing of believing that this is possible. And we watch so many of our men fall and become damaged and become enslaved to this stuff. And I think I want to say right here, you know, I know what I'm talking about. About 18 years of my life, I was in bondage to pornography. As just one of the things I was in bondage to. For 12 years, I've been absolutely clean. Okay? That's a testimony of Jesus Christ. That's also a testimony of God's people investing in the life of a young man very, very seriously damaged. Okay? But it's possible. I want to say one more thing. I'm moving faster than I thought, so now we can slow down and not just assault you with words, but just talk. I don't know if you can read on your screen and understand something, but simply tells us that Jesus Christ has not given up on our generation. You see that? He has not. He promises that he will not.
Hallelujah.
We are privileged to live in the day we live in. We're privileged to be warriors and fight this battle. We are able to overcome. We are. Let's go on just a little bit more. These are really the points that I want to work on for the rest of our time, and then confused by this clock. I started it, is that right, at 4:30, and I'm to close around 5:15. Where's the moderator? Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. So, I want to say another thing, I guess. These are five simple goals for someone that wants to endure discipleship. And these are not overly complex things. These are things that I've learned in my life. I'm not really quoting good ideas from books. These are things that I believe and am committed to, and I want to share with you. I trust it'll be a blessing in your life as you work with people, no matter who they are. And I guess that I should say this. I made myself a note. I assume, you know, this is not the beginner's class about discipleship. We're at a more advanced conference. And I assume that most of you are engaged in some of this type of activity at some level or another. We want to hone our skills. We want to become something more. We want to change the world, don't we? even in just little pieces, one person in our church becoming changed. And then he can go out and make other disciples and make a difference. So let's just start. Committed, able to relate, and willing to fail. Enduring discipleship hates failure, but does not give up or become derailed by it. And I just gave you three examples. Jesus, he couldn't save Judas. He washed those feet of that dear man and did everything he could to the last hour to change that reality. John could talk about, or I'm sorry, Paul could talk about Demas. He loved this present world. He's departed from me. He's moved on. And I don't really know about this one. John and Diotrephes, you can find a little bit about him in 3 John. But you know, there was failure at some level. He tried to teach, and discipleship is not always intense, one-on-one interaction every single day. But it hates failure. Okay? Well, one of the things that disturbs me when I talk to people is the fact that we are too easily discouraged, and we have one bad experience or two bad experiences, and truth is not subject to success necessarily. It is still true whether you succeed or not. And so what I'm just saying here is that at some point I must be committed. And even when I'm crushed, and even when it destroys something in my life, even when it harms me, I have to stay and stand in there and say, I know this is true because this is the model of my Lord. This is what he taught. This is what has carried the Christian religion across the centuries and has brought up people who will stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and make a difference. I must be able to relate to others like Jesus was, because I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, right? Now, there's an interesting verse that I just have rolled over and over in my mind. And you might know what it is when you see the reference up there. But in John, the 13th chapter, when Jesus washed his disciples' feet, it gives us this little blurb, and you see this in different instances in Jesus' life, where it said that the disciple Jesus loved was laying on his breast, and Peter signaled to him, hey, ask him about this. Have you ever wondered what Jesus' life was like with these men? I mean, they walked, they talked, they ate supper together, they relaxed at the end of the day, and you know, I heard a man say this one time, I've always wondered about it. What'd they laugh about? You know, they didn't make fun of people. It wasn't nasty things. But, you know, but God has a sense of humor. I think it's appropriate that's not recorded in the Bible, or people might do funny things with it. I must be satisfied to help someone take one more step towards God. And there's another reason why we often fail early on, is because we see it's really not going to work to make them a mirror copy of myself. Or necessarily that they may not be able to embrace all the vision of my brotherhood. And so I just kind of back away. I'm like, ooh, you know, that may not look like success to someone else. But really the reality is, can I help someone take one more step towards God? Can I be satisfied with the results that God gives in their life? The limits of their development should never stop me from teaching, training, and assisting in their lives. Willing to fail. Let's go on. In addition to all the normal skills of effective communication, and this is just there are so many things that could be said on this slide right here. I just had to choose two things that I think are important. I must constantly communicate, teach, train, and exemplify the unity and love Jesus lived, taught, and expects from God's people. Can we create divisive disciples and have genuine success in the world today? I see some of you shaking your heads, so I think I'm on the right track here. But you know, this is teaching often, and especially in Africa, it's so important to just think about it. And so I tend to try to say things that will make you think a little bit, so don't get too stuck on the exact point. Have you ever wondered about that? What if all the disciples in the world acted like our churches do? Division, divorce, broken trust, and relationships, they already know. That is just so commonplace to men today. They're trying to get away from that. And I think it's important, brethren, to teach the ability to see what is good in others while discerning the truth. And oftentimes we're so afraid of what is not quite right that we tend to criticize. We want to make sure they know what's wrong. And then something happens that doesn't come out quite right. Does that make sense? Okay. We must live a life that is a clear and decisive pattern for others to follow. This communicates truth very, very effectively. And sometimes that can happen without words. I'm never very encouraged by people that talk about how the Christian life is just an example that's lived and they can't articulate any of it. I don't believe that. But this is a choice that's intentional. I make that decision. There's a man that lived somewhere here in the state of Pennsylvania. Years ago, we were talking and he shared something with me I've never forgot. He said, "Trent, one of the goals I have in life is to live a clear and decisive life so that someone else can follow my footsteps to the Savior. If I can't say anything to them, at least they'll know what to do." It's a good word. And this was not a man that was afraid to talk. Teach apologetically. For example, this is maybe too simple of an example, but let's talk about it. Why is sexual sin wrong in God's eyes? I can quote you 17 verses or so, probably more, about the no and why to stay away from it, or what the effects are, and how sinful it is, and all of that. But can you sit and tell someone who is struggling why? Why would God say something like that? Explore the why as a biblical truth and not just the no of it. Christ is more than a yea-sayer and a nay-sayer. He is the voice of reason and wisdom and eternity. Now, I have this experience. Perhaps you do as well. Have you ever had the opportunity to sit down with a prostitute and teach her what the lifestyle she's living is wrong? She needs more than just verses that say it's wrong. She's got to be able to understand it just a little bit. And that's why I'm saying, you know, we've got to have a concept. We've got to think very, very, very clearly about the youth that are in our lives, in our churches, and in the world today. And the entire world is giving us a perspective on life that is not satisfied with a simple yes or no answer. The scientific world wants evidence. They want to think about it. And when you talk with someone who is intelligent and has serious questions in their mind, they need to go a bit deeper. And we've got to be able to reason with them and explain why. Why does God say no? I don't intend to answer that for you today, but it's a good thing to have on the tip of your tongue. Be able to explain it. Help this person see the Bible truth for what they are pressured by in this world. You must be willing to talk about sensitive things or be open to it and give them the invitation to come in and really ask questions and really share. Especially people that are caught in sexual sin and bondage. I mean, I was just thinking of examples, and I was trying to think how to tastefully share it. But they must be free to come and talk about it, even if it's embarrassing to you. And recently I had this experience of just getting to know a man who was a new father in a very old order setting. Before long, we had moved into a room, and we were talking about things that make my face burn. I'm just telling you. I was just astonished. I was so glad that he had shared some of those things with me, and we were just working through some basic scriptural principles. Talking about sexuality in ways that we shouldn't have had to talk about, but we had to. It's very important. And this young man had wanted for a long time to find somebody that was just willing to share, not embarrassed. Just, brother, let's talk about it. Sometimes you got to go to him and just say, you know, I don't know the answer to that exactly, but let's take time. Let's look at it together. I'll find a book or two and let's find some verses and just reason together about it. I'm so glad you shared that. Don't be afraid to share it with me. I'll be glad to help you. Let's be discreet. Things like that. Okay, but the Bible has got to be able to speak in a very complex world that people live in. And it's not just all out there. I just told you about an old order man that never had any training. It dealt with sexual abuse and very, very unbelievable things in his life. One of the best ways I've found to sustain someone's development is by giving them a vision to one day help others. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous uses a version of what I just told you fairly effectively. I'm not promoting them in any way, but you know, there is something that is a reality. And a person that's struggled with drug addiction, that's struggled with all kinds of addictions and thoughts and being held captive by their mind, that sometimes it's just good. And I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. Talk early and often about how they can become part of the solution rather than part of the problem. And give them some testimony and say, listen, brother, a long time ago I used to struggle. But now I can help people, and you can too. Okay? We're going to work at it. We're going to get you there. And someday you'll be able to talk to people just like you. They're struggling. Give them an answer. Give them some victory. Help them on. Things like that. You can become part of the solution instead of part of the problem. And it doesn't have to be something horrible. We all have experiences in life. We've been redeemed from sin. We've been set free by the blood of the Lamb. And there are people that we can relate with and that know they can relate with us because we've been open and transparent about the mistakes of our past, about the struggles we've been in. And then we can give them testimony and say, you know what? Look what God's done. Oh, I know another brother like this. Look at that. You'd never know today he had these kind of problems. Does that make sense? Set goals for them that are challenging, realistic, and achievable. Celebrate victories or accomplishments. Sometimes you've just got to speak words of faith to them and words of confidence and say, look, we're going to set a goal and we're going to try to get there. All right? We're in it together. And you got to let them know that their success and their victories mean something to you. It's not just like, well, I hope you do okay. This thing is personal because I'm committed. I've been taught by my Lord to disciple, to make people that are strong and able to carry this vision on further. You know, and sometimes it's like, hey, You'll get a slushie from Sheets or you know, somewhere. And that was a good job. You made it. Bible reading plans. I mean, there is app after app that can lay this thing out, brother. I put up there, okay, Psalm 119:9. Check it out. Where's the young man going to go to cleanse his ways? It's by drinking in God's Word, this washing of the water of the Word. How many of you in here have ever read the Bible in 30 days? You ought to try it sometime. Young men, listen to me. 42 chapters a day. You wash that mind. Okay? But sometimes as a man that is intent on making disciples, you've got to do things. Now, I can say I've done that. It was something I intentionally did, and it was a blessing. I mean, you consume that much of God's Word in 24 hours, and brethren, you'll be a fireball coming out of here. But, you know, set little goals for them. Let's do it. Hey, let's read the New Testament in 30 days, 8 chapters a day. We can do that. I'll do it with you. And then when that happens, hey, let's go have ice cream. What a blessing. It's tremendous. Days of victory. Okay, and I work a lot with people that struggle with sexual sin. So it just comes out. I'm sorry, I don't want to make it all about that. But, you know, we work on a week. Let's get to 2 days. Let's put 2 days together without that masturbation or whatever it is that we're working on. And then let's take it up to a week. And let's get to 30 days. But it's not just a simple one-way reporting. We're in it. You know, I know what day it is. And how you doing, brother? You making it? So let's get through to tomorrow. Let's try that. Help them know, I said that already, that their success is sweet to us. This is really nice. I get 5 whole minutes to do the last slide. One of the biggest mistakes that we all make is failing to recognize that we can all learn from the failures, experiences, and victories of the one that we're trying to help. I don't care who you are, but you know something that I don't know. And there is something that grabs people's attention when you're willing to listen. Tell me about that. Really? That's what you did last night. Interesting. You know, and then the person starts to open up, and you just come to them with that attitude. What can I learn from you? You saw things I never saw, right? Let them teach you something. Grow together. This I have had to learn this by experience. There have been men that have helped me. But I have found this to be tremendously effective. To humble myself and be a learner from their life. And I mean, I have worked with people in the inner cities in Africa this is just a challenging set of circumstances they're dealing with. You know, I was thinking of a young man that I worked with in the last couple of years that was thinking that he should kill his father. He was a Christian. His father had a demon. His father was going out and actively killing the other ones of his siblings because the demon would tell him that if you don't kill one of your children, I'm going to kill you. And it was the only way he could save his life. And this young man couldn't hardly see past it. And he said, my brothers and sisters are pressuring me to go in and kill my father. And you don't just come up with all the answers in that situation. You slow this thing down because you're not going to fix that overnight. Help them to add value to your own life. Accept their little gifts and services. I can tell you a lot of stories. I've had to learn this the hard way sometimes. But it's such a blessing. And it feels so bad when we're so rich and strong. And you know, you don't want them to give you this little thing because it's half of their monthly income. But sometimes you've got to just, oh, thank you so much. What a blessing. And I'd love to tell you the story of six little glass cups. I was given some one time by a person who couldn't afford it. But those cups in my cupboard, I used them for years. Appreciate it. Hold them accountable. Expect growth and change out of their life. Let them know. But let them hold you accountable. Brother, I've got some challenges too. Would you be willing to just ask me about this once in a while? I know you understand you're dealing with things. Gives someone, a young man, a young woman, a sense of responsibility. Something that they can add into your own life. And it seems like you're going to devalue yourself. And that's just something you have to work with. We have to be discerning. We can't just go around spilling all our weaknesses necessarily. But there's a time to just share. Tell them about it. Because if we're not real, we really don't get the attention of people that desperately need help. Am I down to 1 minute yet? 1 minute. All right, so we're gonna really wind this thing up. We managed to get there. So those are just five simple lessons. That's not complex. That's not high theology. I kind of struggled with that. I thought, well, you people are all full-grown people. You probably know more about this than I do. And what, you know, maybe I should share some really complicated things. But I decided to just tell you what I believe. And so I hope it can be a blessing to you as you meet the world that faces you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.